Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Planetary Star, and it is the 10th day of the Blue Storm Wave Spell, and it is the overtone moon day 14 or 13. However, I am making this anticipation of the overtone day 14 and red spectral moon. I'm doing this because I know that I'm going to be too tired to talk on red spectral moon, and I hate for you to have to wait till Monday because I'm such a slacker in my schedule. So I thought, well, why don't I be proactive? And I used to do things in a timely fashion, so maybe this is just a return to normalcy, albeit probably a brief return. I am also at the peak of my own blue storm wave spell, so I expect to capitulate tomorrow to my antipode, red moon, spectral day. We all fall apart, we all fall down. But when we fall into our antipode, because it has been our wave spell, my presumption is that I am going to lose some steam. So this declaration, I'm testing it. It's a test drive on my assumption that red spectral moon will kind of take me out, partly because the blue storm wave spell has been effectively breakthrough and powerful. And I don't know what you think about it. As I've said a number of times, I am terrible at assessing what the blue storm wave spell is like for other people since it's my homeland. But for me, especially dovetailed with this overtone moon, I'll talk about that in a minute, I did find some relentless surge of power, which is kind of the overtone, but then blue storm, that force of nature factor where you just can drive it home like rain. I guess nobody wants to hear about how it's going in my patio with my piles of brick. But I have this game with myself of like, well, how long is this run of really effective and heartfelt verve going to last? For me, I'm like, well, I turned 53. Was it going to last past my 52nd year when I was a blue overtone storm? So far, but it's still the blue storm wave spell. Is it going to last past the blue storm wave spell? I don't know. The overtone moon, is it going to last past that? So this is my own personal astrology experience. I can only model it, I guess. I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about my own and how I use Mayan astrology to stay inquisitive. Assumptions don't work with Mayan astrology. I saw that at the beginning of this wave spell because I'm like, well, it's a blue storm wave spell. It's going to be awesome. But it started off really shaky for me. And I sort of, you know, I always forget that my grandfather, my father's father, who was untoward with me, he was born in the blue storm wave spell. So every time I come home to my wave spell, I get to come home to that energy field of his unreconciled, aberrational perversion, which is part of the patriarchy. So getting clear of that, that's very blue storm. If you start off shaky in any wave spell, there's always an evolution. I said on the podcast, as I said to a friend, like, okay, well, blue magnetic storm, whatever you attract that's stormy today will be smooth sailing by the end. There'll be a resolution. And yeah, that's always true in wave spells. That's what's so great about wave spells. Even if it's just like an artificial overlay to the psyche, you know, it's a training to be like, well, if I feel really bad now, I can just remember that in 13 days I won't. And believe me, I feel like I've had times in my life when things do not dissolve and repair in 13 days, but maybe I could use the Zolkin to say, well, there's a handful of wave spells that are pretty gnarly, and we're in them. We're in those handful of wave spells. White World Bridger, Blue Storm, Yellow Human, Red Serpent, White Mirror. It's like a handful. It's five. I have no idea whether I will start to feel that pressure in a consistent way and share about it, or if, I mean, I hate to say this, sounds a little arrogant, but it's just aging. Or if when you turn 52 and you make it through that portal of rebirth, whether you get some ease and perspective, I don't know. So the blue storm wave spell dissolves, it breaks. By the time you're listening to this, the wave is breaking. And everything that's blue storm is dissipating, even though it's present. Like, we don't unlearn anything. There's no gain that we lose when the wave breaks. We just lose altitude. So it's an ascendance. And it's you know, proximity toward divinity. We're rising in the sky, getting closer to some kind of heavenly outcome. And then we're humbled or just homebound, you know, in the incarnation, in the human experience, in the human dilemma. And I think what's fun about falling or having to reconcile that the wave breaks and we're brought back to earth, which just, you know, what does that mean? I think it means feeling less efficient, less effective, accomplished for a while. But then, you know, if you get into these wave spells for decades, then you just sort of like, well, but there's another one. This is cool. So when I was starting, the spectral days were great teachers because everything would fall apart. Not everything, but like, I mean, not just my stuff. Things would be falling apart for other people, and I could walk around invested in the small teaching of the spectral tone and be like, well, it's this spectral energy. It's dissolving. It's a wave falling apart. Tension is being lessened, mitigated by, you know, like lack of steam. So that's part of the spectral tone, is feelings of fatigue or exhaustion or aimlessness. I'm not looking forward to that because I'm still going to be moving brick on the spectral day. But I have a lot of trepidation / surrender because I know that the spectral day isn't a day of overcoming everything and charging uphill and being unstoppable. It is the opposite of that. It is relenting. It's free fall, which means we don't have to do a lot, and that's the reward. We just have to be willing to let go. And part of what I said early on also about the spectral tone, I feel kind of like in my middle age, I'm not really as willing to talk about sexuality the podcast, but I used to all the time. So an orgasm is spectral. So people like those. So the unwinding of tension is actually quite an elixir. So that's a way of embracing the spectral energy. Okay, so then we are going to move towards White Crystal Dog. That sounds great. That's Monday. Blue Cosmic Monkey could be good. And then out there on the horizon is the Yellow Human Wave Spell. I'm going to mention that now because I don't think I'll be podcasting, and I think there's something to prepare for. It is quite a paradigm shift to go from Blue Storm to Yellow Human. This I recall. Some wave spell transits are fluid. I don't think this is one of them. I think they're almost like, it's like an extreme, abrupt dissonance is framed in it. Because if we've been forced to become the storm in a blue storm wave spell, I mean, we are auteurs of each of our wave spells, and we drop into these tribes to experience them bodily, holistically, all emotions and so forth. So we're all blue storm. What is that? I don't know. I mean, we know what it looks like in the sky. I know what it's like to live it. You now have 10 days, the ascendant days of the blue storm wave spell, to recognize your own personification or embodiment of blue storm. And now all of that wildness and that will against denial, the disruptor, is going to be fed, and I would say like wedged into a human body. And so I think that the Yellow Human Wave Spell feels restrictive at the outset. I feel like the Yellow Human Wave Spell can feel restrictive the whole time, but I want to stay open, and I don't have the same experience every wave spell of anything. So like, well, okay, we'll see what's coming. Sometimes I feel like, oh, it's time to take the temperature of humanity in the Yellow Human Wave Spell. And who wants to know, you know, what's going on in humanity right now? We have another iteration of a, you know, global pandemic piece of germ warfare, someone called it to me recently. So trepidation, survival, mind over matter, that's very Yellow Human, solving problems, using our intelligence, our experience, wisdom, really. It's the smartness that comes from experience. That's the human gift, is that we can learn from our mistakes, or not just mistakes that are like moral mistakes, but, oh, I tried that, it didn't work, let me try this. Like, that's the human superpower. So Yellow Human is a great time for solving problems. And Yellow Human is a difficult time for feeling larger than life. We feel just as large as a human life in the Yellow Human Wave Spell, but not as large as a storm or a skywalker or a world bridger. Then, just so you know, out there on the horizon, we're going to siphon down even smaller and live just in our amygdala, just in our reptilian facet of our brain, in the red serpent wave spell that follows Yellow Human. So that's kind of interesting. Like, Red Skywalker's out in the sky, White World Bridger opens doors to a whole afterlife. Blue Storm is like the emotional churning that comes from all of that wildness described by Red Skywalker and White World Bridger. Wildness meaning like feral and free, not impinged by reality. So Blue Storm has all this volatility that can have emotional content and can be full of a force that has a feeling state, and then yellow human, smaller, red serpent, smaller still. Okay, so that's what's coming. The overtone energy. We are entering the third week in the West. That means two things. One, that the overtone moon is halfway over, which is really fast. Life is going really fast, I think. Maybe if you do the same thing over and over again each day. I work from sunlight till sunset, which is shorter because it's wintry. But it's not very interesting. Like, you know, there's not an array of choices. Does that make time go slower when you can choose more? When you just do what's in front of you, does it go faster? Is that good? It seems very peaceful. But here we are, already 2 weeks into the overtone moon, the 28-day moon, the fifth moon of our year. And we're entering the third week in the West, which I describe as being more emotional, faster moving, an accelerated time, interesting. I mean, groundbreaking and transformative, and our awareness could be greater, like we're more alert because things are moving. That acceleration piece. It's an alchemical acceleration because things are moving from this past 7 days. We're in the north, and that's the place of spirit and the element of air. And then we're now moving into the place of emotions and the element of water. And we'll end up in the place of the body and the element of earth. So to get from the north, which is air, to the south, that's earth. That's a big alchemical process, and it happens very quickly in 7 days when we're going through the four directions in our 28-day moons. So that's why it's exciting and invigorating and can see rapid change, can feel it. And in this overtone time, I mean, what is there to say? I'm just like, this was my whole story when I was 52. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm in my 52-year process. I am looking out from this very specific lens. Being 52, I just want to say again, you know, a week out, like less than a week out, it was epic. It was epic. It's like emotional for me to even reflect on it. Like, I don't know that I would cry. It's more like heart soaring. Like, what the hell? I just turned 52 for a year. I was blue overtone storm. I was myself astrologically for a year. What a trip. So I'm apologizing to you because we're still in like this weird coincidental synchronistic afterbirth of being in the blue storm wave spell, and then that'll finally ebb tomorrow and it'll slowly float away. But this overtone moon is kind of like the last strand of my own extended experience of my astrology being prevalent, and I am not effective about talking about my own astrology to others for any length of time. The bullet points of overtone are the words that Jose Arguelles chose to command and empower radiance. So command means bossy. I have that. Directive, in control, commander. But you know, there's a grace and beauty to those who can command attention when they're on stage and that word is used. So it's not just like, do this, do that, but more like, whoa, check out the presence of that person, the power they hold. I mean, this room is wrapped in attention. That's overtone. So maybe you're acting overtone right now, or maybe that's happening to you. Then to empower, this time empowers each of us. It makes us more powerful. It doesn't mean that we're powerful over other people. It doesn't mean there's a hierarchy and I'm getting more power right now. It means that I am thriving at being myself. I'm not speaking about myself. Each of us thrives at being ourselves in the overtone tone. Empowered to me means authentic, vibrant, you know, a working body, a working soul, soul and body working together, which makes us practically invincible. And then radiance. Radiance is the glow of a pregnant person or the glow of someone who's done a juice cleanse, but we have it in the overtone time regardless whether we do either of those things. So radiance also works really well in describing the sacred geometry of the number five, since this is a count that can be equal to our own concepts, 1 through 13, even though there are different words. It is the fifth tone of 13, and that is the same as a five-pointed star or a sphere that's connected by those five star points. And our previous shapes of 4, 3, 2, 1 are not round and radial and radiant. So if we think about, like, 1 is one dot, it just exists powerfully as a unit. 2 is two dots, and you connect them and you get a line, which streams, that's nice. 3 dots, you get something crazy going on. You get a shape, but that's a triangle, meaning from a line, you have a line and you add a dot and suddenly you have 3 lines. It's pretty wild. That describes our relationship with divinity. It's a miracle. It's magical. Then 4, you can get a square, 4 dots, 4 lines. 5, you can get, what is it called? A hectagon, a pentagon. It's from Tarot. Pentagram, pentagon, the pentagon. Okay, I get it. It's a pentagon. Hept, I believe, is 6. Correct myself. But within the hectagon or around it is a circle, within it is a star. So that's where we're at. We're at, like, what? More than one shape, accelerated shapes, layers of shapes, tiers of shapes. They're all, I think, breaking from, like, a basic foundational shape to becoming otherworldly. You know, like people that live in geodesic domes instead of square boxes. That's where we are in the overtone. In the scope of the year, the overtone is really helpful, because it's giving us this empowerment so that we can get on with our work. It's true of every wave spell, 13 days long as well. But think of it, in the rhythmic moon, we're going to kind of take all this power and just mitigate it by meeting out our power with a rhythm. You know, like, okay, I have this blast of power, but let me channel that into a rhythm that's workable, that's sustainable. And that's to move forward into the resonant moon, the resonant tone, where we then open up, you know, the airwaves. We open up our connections to divinity, the way we channel whatever our source or force that informs us. And then there's this galactic tone where all that's integrated, everything that came through the channel is sort of moved into, we're already at a rhythm. It's like a cleanse. The galactic information makes us otherworldly while we stand here on Earth. And all of this, there's this, I think, let me start at the beginning. Like, we attract our purpose in the first tone. We find the challenge that we can't avoid, that we're going to face within this purpose in the second tone. In the electric tone, we find out that, hey, this is all about service. How can I best be of service? I need to make sure that's integral to the way I walk in the world. Then we get specific indications of how, what form our service will take. None of this has to be authored by ourselves. You just stay open. How can I best be of service? It's a question. You look and see the direction you're being shown. You feel it. You find specific forms of service. That's like the first four tones of any wave spell are like nuts and bolts. They're action steps. And then things change tonally. It's like we've collected all this very important information and we've received an affect, a way to walk, to behave for the stages of the 13 tones of the wave spell we're in. And then it goes into another realm. It's overtone, it's rhythmic, it's resonant, it's galactic. These are like non-action stages. We are already soaring. We're communing with divinity in a different way than nuts and bolts. And then it all sort of hones to this burning moment, the solar tone, the ninth tone, when we are communicating directly with the sun. We have integrity from the galactic experience. We have a resonant channel. We've already communed with divinity in some way. We have a rhythm that is all the empowerment and all the acts of service and purposefulness that's behind us. And it all focuses on the solar tone where we commune with the sun directly. Or, you know, we sort of can feel what our wishes or desires, our aspirations are, but only because of all the experiences that led up to it. And then there's this planetary manifestation. And then I've talked about the spectral tone and the crystal and cosmic follow. So, I mean, I'm kind of off on, you know, I'm a bit in the cerebral part of this because I'm really reaching for what I'm discovering right at this moment, which is just that it is a lot of work to start wave spells. It's work because it's demanded. It's an adjustment period. We're not flying high in the sky in the beginning of a wave spell. We're buried deep in our unconscious, like underwater. But at the overtone moment, we get out from our unconscious and we start to become, you know, not just awake, but we cruise upward into the realm of higher consciousness and we spend time there, you know, four tones, not underwater. And then we're sort of at the summit, the peak of our highest consciousness. And then the spectral tone brings us back down to Earth. So I congratulate each of us on having done the laborious part of studying purpose, challenge, service, listening for answers, not really knowing where we're supposed to go at the beginning of a wave spell, especially the year-long one. And we just have to look for indicators and pay attention to these questions that we ask. Be pretty fixated, disciplined. Like, it's the time to identify challenge. Just because I'm unhappy doesn't mean I can't get answers to what is my challenge in the time of challenge. And now it's the time of radiance. And I, you know, good job. We did it. I could just be super caffeinated. I apologize. I don't know where I get my optimism and motivation at times. Could be completely chemical. But it feels kind of overtone. Feels like I got a sense of the overtone moment and my own overtone assignation. So I hope that's helpful. And I'll be back sometime in the first stages of the yellow human wave spell. I think I'm going to let this whole blue storm wave spell ride out, and then I'll come back to address what it's like shrinking down into human form. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.